prayer regarding the, let's become a cult leader. And is this going to cult question? It shouldn't just end there with the cult issue, but how to avoid it. How not to make the same mistake again, over and over, as history shows, both with religious groups in general and ISKCON. So, the role of the guru is being discussed a lot. And Prabhupada had started ISKCON and had established his temple there in 26 Second and Lower East Side Manhattan. He did not put himself as that super duper advanced divine enlightened figure that you should put on the throne as good as Jesus or something. He said, I'm simply a servant of God and of everyone, really. Because he served those crazy hippies. These kids. Served them food. Someone said he stood in line with them outside the bathroom. And that's what I heard from those who were around him in those days, that it was a family mood. And he was like a granddad. I taught them about Krishna and how to serve Krishna and love Krishna so on. He was there to teach them. From the Gita and the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya-tam and so on. And of course, for us who were working in the BBT, who are, that's just obvious. That his main emphasis, his main mission, as he himself saw it, were his books and his writings and his teachings. That did not come from him, but from the Guru Parampara. He was simply delivering. So he never put himself in that central role there, as someone that everyone should live for and be dependent on and so on, as a cult leader does. But he also wanted to establish his organization, his group, this group of Vaishnavas working together to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. Globally, and it grew fast. Required strong management, this and that. And basically took on a shape of its own. Very much controlled by and established by and upheld by strong, young, ambitious, hard-working leaders, young Americans and Indians and Germans and so on. And it required him basically, probably that also happened on its own by natural psychology to take on that role as some kind of icon, but that may also have been done by his disciples, leaders in leader positions, because to point to that super authority up there and say that this is what he wants, what I'm telling you now. It's very powerful and very handy management tool. So, you know, I guess that's what happens in all groups and organizations as they grow and need. Develop management structure and finances and work power and all of that. So why am I saying all that, all this? Yes, because since Prabhupada didn't take that position himself, at least not from the beginning, and then whatever happened after that, if it came from him or from other leaders, that's not important. He did not take that position as, for instance, well, so many other Indian gurus had done when they came over. As incarnations of God, whatever. In fact, he pointed at the knowledge, not his knowledge that came, that he had invented, but there in the thousands of years old Shastra that had been and was being lived happily, successfully by so many people throughout history. And that can make people here happy. That's really what it's all about. Not about that super duper guru who's opening his mouth and talking, and what comes out of his mouth is pure absolute truth, no matter what. He never took that position. That's what I'm saying, and anyone can, it's free and welcome to argue with me on that or disagree, but well, you know, I came 4 months or so after Prabhupada passed away, so I never met him and like that. So what can I say? But what I see and what I'm trying to paint here by using Srila Prabhupada as an example, because that's really what he did. He showed by, taught by his own example. So I think it's very relevant and important way of showing it. That we, and I'm talking about the Vaishnava community and ISKCON in particular, maybe, and the branches around there, Gaudiya, that we see still focus on and building on iconic, idealized figures, the gurus. You know, that you see that they pop up on the top of the, some kind of Vyasa San, and they are (sighs) often idealized beyond, sometimes far beyond, their actual true personalities. Some may be so because they themselves want that, but I think it more often is done by the followers, the disciples. And maybe ultimately by the managing leaders. This is now my completely on the top of my mind hypothesis, which I'm not sure about, but I throw it out here. That when a leader in an ISKCON temple, or in any, I think, temple or whatever, you know, it's a hard thing to be, because you are there with a certain amount of people and a property that is costly to maintain, to run, and so on. And people who you need to motivate to work without giving them a salary. It's a tough management role to be in. So you need to find every trick you can to inspire people. And if there's anything, I mean, the biggest thing I would say in glorification here is to those devotees who worked like that, serving without getting any salary, and just do it on faith and pure enthusiasm, and I would say on devotion to Krishna. I mean, that's pure devotional service, if anything is. And many such devotees are just invisible from all these high idealized pedestals where everyone tends to look. So anyway, back to that temple president, who's also, I think more often than not, an unsung, lonesome hero, because that person tends to get also easily blamed for everything when it doesn't work. So, but anyway, some are successful at it. And that may be then another reason for a person in that position to, you know, tie, this is the way it goes, it seems to me. I mean, let's get honest about it. Here I am, I'm a temple president, I have this temple to run, gosh, and these devotees here, and I need more devotees, more people to work and serve. And so, well, I partner up with the Swamiji, a guru, one of those big icons traveling around, and I invite him here, he comes here, and we're becoming buddies. And if I then, you know, if he kind of suits me and seems to support me, and we got the kind of the same ideas about things, then when, you know, we can do a symbiotic deal here. I invite him often and start to recommend newcomers, you know, new bhaktas and bhaktins to take initiation from him. That gives him dakshin in his account and all kinds of benefits. And then he kind of agrees to, in his teachings and preachings to those disciples, recommend you and tell them to follow you, what you say, that you are representing him, and so on. So there are these little things. Maybe that also is a contributing factor to how that larger than life, larger than reality kind of role of the great, elevated, perfect, even Uttamadhikari Guru came about. Because Prabhupada didn't really teach that and didn't really empower and announce that now these disciples are Uttamadhikaris out of my Shakti Murti and all that. This was invented by themselves after Prabhupada left. As often happens in organizations, and you know, we got the cult thing going there again. So I would say that what happened after Prabhupada left was pretty much standard cult symptoms. The charismatic one leader leaves, and the others are fighting whatever for how to divide up the power, who is the greatest representative of our guru, what did he actually say about this and that. Oh no, wow. So anyway, back to the positive suggestion here, which is kind of obvious, isn't it, that we don't need such figures. I'm quite convinced we don't. We first of all need to just be, you know, friends. And that's really what Prabhupada did when he started. Here we are, we are friends of Krishna, friends serving Krishna together, and I am a friend among you, your teacher, your grandfather, your guide. And there it was quite obvious and clear, because he was the only one who knew anything about Krishna and all of that, Gaudiya Vaishnava, at that time. Anyway, so before he passed away, when he spoke about the successorship, he said, all my disciples can become guru when they become qualified for it. And think about that statement. I mean, really think about it, what it means. It's very deep. Every one of my disciples can become guru. That means everyone, women, men, the pot washers and the managers and the monks. Wow. That's what Prabhupada said. But then they said, when they become qualified for it, now that kind of, whoops, adds a new dimension to that statement, right? But it's interesting because it means that the lady there in this sewing room, or the guy there in the car garage, so-and-so does and so-and-so does he, if they become qualified themselves by their personal, well, qualities, they can be guru. And of course, what those qualities are, that qualification is, well, we can look at that elsewhere. It's quite clear in Prabhupada's teachings. I don't know why that verse pops up. I don't even remember what it means. Anyway, verses insert here, whatever. So, I think many of us actually, I'm looking, following sometimes progressive Vaishnavism there on Facebook, that group, where many like myself gather, and I sit and talk to old friends, God brothers, God sisters, and I find that common vision that shall this Krishna consciousness movement continue and succeed, it needs that. It needs to go back to what Prabhupada actually founded it to be, which you can read in the 7 bylaws or whatever there, that it should be mainly there to bring the members closer to each other, to be friends with Krishna in center. Not even Prabhupada in the center, but Krishna in the center. And I know that may sound like a heavy and controversial and, ooh, not nice statement, but Prabhupada, I mean, just, let's just not be really real about it. Prabhupada didn't just walk around talking about Bhaktisiddhanta. He didn't sing Jai Prabhupada to his guru in his bhajans and kirtans and so on. He always spoke about Krishna, because that's what it's about. And the teacher is the one, the guru is the one who does that. And he points at Krishna. You should look not at him, but at Krishna, where he points, because that's what he teaches by his writings and words and personal life example. So Prabhupada is pointing at Krishna here, and we should look at Krishna. And then we will do, when we do, we'll find ourselves together. Not sitting there looking at some guy sitting in a saffron dress on a Vyasa-san, but on Krishna, over there. And if he's for real, or she, then they are pointing at Krishna, making you look at Krishna. And if you sit there just with starry eyes looking at them when you're saying that, when they're saying that, and they will shout at you, because a real devotee is just a humble servant. So there is should be no problem really, because it's an understanding that is really up to each and every one of us personally, individually, anyway. Because it's really about how we, the little ones on the floor, so to speak, which we ultimately all are, and that's my point, how we relate to each other. Are we looking at our friends among us and having, you know, friendly, loving, kind relationships, or are we sitting there staring at what is really a cult leader has become so? Maybe not by any sinister or wrong doing, but by this kind of group psychology thing that, you know, it's still, I think, just lingering from the past, from the days of these super Uttamadhikari gurus. When Prabhupada explains clearly that Madhyamadhikaris can also be gurus, but you can't see, unless you really have to admit that you're idealizing a Madhyamadhikari as a perfect, absolutely perfect person, because that's what a Madhyamadhikari by very definition isn't. He or she, you know, they are on their way. But they are enough ahead of you that they can lead you to where they are now. And when you are there, then they should have proceeded too. So there's no problem, really. Because it's not this ideal, perfect, super-duper, superhero person that it's about. It's about walking the path. And in whatever way we help each other and guide each other for walking on that path, then that's wonderful. And it's not about whether that is done from the top of a big throne, but or from the floor of the dishwasher's room. In fact, I have sometimes heard wiser things being said in a few words by a pot washer in the kitchen than by the great figure talking half asleep on the Vyasa-san in the temple room over there. Sorry, but this is just, we all know it. And this is not to bring down anyone, but it's actually to bring up those, a lot of devotees who deserves that, because it's all there in the teachings of the Bhagavatam and the Prabhupada, that being a devotee and thus able to lead others on that bhakti path, it's not about varna or ashram or anything like that. Caste, creed, color, any of that, country. It's about that nice heart of molten gold, right? I'm always just serving Krishna, Radha, Krishna, the devotees, whether from a high or humble position. And I think if this mood can develop, which is really about relaxing a bit and just being ourselves and starting to relate to each other the way we are. Laying down those masks and taking off those cosplay garbs and, you know, all of that. I mean, whether just mentally or even physically too, that it's not really what it's about. It's about, I'm talking about relationships here. And those who have things to teach and say they do, and they write books and they would whatever, and they're sure there will be differences. But then my conviction is, as I'm speaking about somewhere else, that the purpose of the GBC that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started for his Gaudiya Math was not to preserve one singular monolithic organization under one single management and powers in a power structure, but to allow natural organic branching and serving as a cooperation point, and you could say authorization point, between those branches representing the trunk. But you know, if you want to be calling yourself a branch here, you need to follow the rules established by the trunk, by the roots of this tree, that kind of job. And I would say that if the GBC as it stands today would serve that like that too, that yes, here have this branch and that branch, which we already have there and have had since Prabhupada was here, like you have this in Hawaii, the Siddhaswarup branch and so on. Prabhupada approved of that, but that the GBC would, you know, in that way we would allow a diversity while establishing the unity through the GBC, not by telling each and every one and each and every one of those branches what is right and what is wrong and what they are allowed to teach. Unless they are, you know, diverting from the original teaching that the tree is based on and so on, right? So that's where the discussions would go on. But management-wise, this and that, and it's autonomous, and there are free groups like that. Who are part of the tree because of the teachings, not of necessarily, you know, contributing money and man and woman power. Well, you know, some will get upset by that statement and, oh, what do you mean? So anyway, but I'm more emphasizing here the sharing of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and teachings and the mission, and really, you know, that Gaudiya Vaishnava branch is part of the four sampradayas there, right? And the Vaishnava sampradayas, and they are Vaishnavas are part of the religious, the community on earth of people who, one way or other, see God there and themselves as servants of God, meant to love God and follow, and so on. I mean, if you see it that way, it's a nice, friendly community all the way, or could be, or should be. And I think that work is a great work that some devotees are doing already this year, communist, what do you call it in English, interfaith dialogue and all that. But really, yes, I prefer this flavor of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Community or world that is growing here around this teacher. Here is Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, here is Srila Sridhar Swami. And so on. But I know some devotees see it the way that they see it, look at every little thing that may divert from the perfect interpretation, you know, of Vaishnavism according to Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, or rather my understanding of him, that kind of thing, which is very difficult because ultimately it's just only you left. I think the truth is the opposite. And that's what Prabhupada taught by his example and his words. You know, you may be Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, and Hindu, or, but it's really, I'm not here to change that, but just share these advices for how we can really be happy and healthy in our relationship to God and to each other. So I would say if ISKCON would be built like that, now I've been drafting this very quickly and sketchy, but I think that others, some at least, can see what I'm talking about and hopefully can continue filling in this model, so to speak, with this vision for a flourishing and beautiful and, I would say, growing in the right real sense. In the sense which I really mean is the sense that Prabhupada wanted it, which also can be discussed, of course, but it's really about most important rules and principles to always remember God and never forget Him. And surrender, saranagati. Which can be agreed upon, I would say, between all religions, basically. Then there is all the reasons that this Gaudiya Vaishnava line, as Prabhupada has established it here, and as Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda established it, and Lord Chaitanya, can be loved by millions of people because it's beautiful. And we should, I would say, the reason why I'm saying all this is that some devotees can't see it as beautiful because their lives have been lives in slavery or you know, someone kind of complained to me or said the other day that how come after 40, 50 years we see so many of the devotees who have joined through the decades not at all seeming to be very happy or spiritually enlightened or all of that which we were preaching back then that you will become. And how this, some can't even see that because we kind of, and this is also one of those cult phenomena, we kind of had to give up our own interests and kind of thought that to be happiness and, well, it became a bit strange, right? So taking back that, our own lives, redeeming ourselves, and we'll find that someone owns us, then maybe we should question if that's a legitimate ownership or one that you voluntarily subjecting yourself to, or if it just somehow or other was imposed there upon you by someone, and so on. Well, so I'm saying that it's up to each and every one of us how we want to relate to each other, including those that are our leaders, who we want to follow, and how. But that's also another chapter.